chapter number 2. And I hope the title of the message don't scare you too bad. But I'm going to preach on 3 Christmas messages. 3 Christmas messages. I don't know if we'll get to all of them, but I usually can't get one message preached in one service, so I thought it'd be sort of funny to title it 3 and 1. But Luke chapter number 2, we've read this over and over. We read it. We had did our Christmas. Me and my brothers and my mom and Tommy last night, and we read these same scriptures, and it never gets old, hearing of the birth of the Lord Jesus. And so the Gospel of Luke chapter number 2, if you have not started that tradition in your family, I again want to encourage you to take time and do that. Maybe something you've never done or whatever, but I promise you it'll be a great tradition just to share the truth with your family and do it together. The Bible said in verse 1 of chapter 2, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. She brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was within the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them." And that's, again, the Christmas story, the Christmas message, right out of the Word of God. And there's countless messages have been preached from this text. I've been preaching from Luke chapter 1 and Luke chapter 2, seems like for a month. It probably has been a month. And we got one service left, and that'll be Christmas Eve, Sunday morning at 10:30. And that'll be the last, probably the last service we will have geared toward this thought and this theme. But while we're in these moments and in these days, it's good to remember and reminisce and focus on and ponder, to use a word that Mary, the God used about Mary, that she pondered these things in her heart. And so throughout the year, when we preach on all different themes and thoughts and things that'll be going on in the world, may drive us to preach series or sermons on particular topics, or could just be a Thanksgiving, or it could be Easter. But this time of the year, it's one of my favorite times of the year to think about when God left heaven and came to this world and robed himself in flesh and was born. And before I forget it, Brother Jackie told me, if you did not get a fruit bag Sunday, there's a box left back there, so make sure you grab one on your way out. We don't want them to go to waste. And so, or if you know somebody that needs one shut in or something of that nature, if you'll help yourself to that. But anyway, by way of introduction, as we look at three Christmas messages, and I'm going to have to go mighty fast, so I'm not speaking in tongues, but I'll go as fast as I can. I'll get as fast to Justin Cooper gear as I can. If y'all remember Brother Cooper, he says a lot in a little bit of time. But three Christmas messages. The holiday season, for many people, is one of the most depressing times of the year. We've talked about that. The suicide rate from Thanksgiving on through the first of the year, New Year's, is they just skyrocket, sadly. For most people, it's a joyous time. It's a time of laughter and a time of celebration, a time of gatherings and get-togethers and parties and all that we experience. But at the same time, for others, it is a time of sadness and loneliness and heartache. But it's easy to get caught up in the preparations and the festivities of and even the pain that we feel in our hearts over a loved one that's not there. I remember the first Christmas I would always go see my daddy on Christmas, and I didn't grow up living with him and didn't grow up being around him, but I would always go and see him. And I remember that first year, the thought coming to my mind, I'm going to go see my daddy, and then it just hit me hard. Oh, he ain't there. And for others, I mean, it could be someone even closer than a father. It could be a spouse that's no longer there, or a child. And I know, can't imagine the heartache and the hardship that is. But thank the Lord, if you're saved and they were saved, then you have the blessed hope of knowing you will see them again. And so, but even whether it's a time for you of celebration or a time of sadness and heartache, we can all rejoice in the fact over the true meaning of Christmas and get our eyes off of us and how we feel about it and look toward the big picture of what this is really about. And it's really not about us. We got in on something great. We got in on something huge. And that was that God came to redeem mankind. And so we celebrate that as we move during this time of the year. But it ain't about gifts. It ain't about Christmas trees or decorations. It's not even about families and parties and fun. It's certainly not about Santa Claus and elves and reindeer. All of those things are fine in their place or whatever, but that ain't what Christmas and what this time is all about. And I enjoy as much as anybody. Matter of fact, last night we played a little trivia game, and some of the questions that were asked were name on a timer, and you had to name the first five Christmas songs that popped up on the list. And my mind, being a Christian, being a preacher, you'd think it would have went to straight to Silent Night and a Holy Night, just preached. First thing come out of my mouth was Frosty the Snowman, then Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and Jingle Bells. But those things are fine in their place. But the reason, as it's been said so many times, for the season is Jesus and that he came. And so it's all about Jesus and Jesus alone. So just for a few minutes, let's leave our world and our wants and desires behind and visit again one last time this little town of Bethlehem and what happened 2,000 years ago. And let's allow Jesus to transform our Christmas. The night God became flesh and walked among men ranks as one of the greatest moments in human history. I mean, you think about it. What was a greater night than the night God came down and overshadowed Mary, and the Holy Ghost looked down and overwhelmed and overshadowed her, and God the Father put his favor upon and oversaw in his sovereign power, and God the Son was conceived as a man. I can't think of a greater night in history than when God did that for humanity. It was a night of tremendous miracles and great blessing. It was a night when God moved into the world to live and eventually to die. Though the story's 2,000 plus years old, it's still fresh to me tonight as it was the night it happened. I mean that. Ain't you glad as a born-again believer that this is not some fairy tale or something you read as a child that you grew up and grew out of, and as many other things that we as children were told and taught, and then you got to a certain age and just to find out those things weren't true, and those things were just not as though you had believed, but not so with Jesus. Whether you're 8 or 80, blind or crazy, Jesus is real, Jesus is true, and you'll never outgrow this story. You'll never get to a place where you come to the place to find out, well, that was not true. No, it's absolutely and always will be the truth when Jesus came to be born of a woman. It was a night of tremendous blessing and miracles. So let's visit Bethlehem again this evening and notice that as Mary delivered Jesus into the world, there were some Christmas messages that were delivered also. Number one, the verses 10 through 14 show us and deal with the heavenly choir preached a message, and they did. For the first time in history, the heavens from one side to the other was a choir put together of angelic beings, and they sang and they brought a message to the world that Christ was being born. And they delivered a message of peace, a soothing message. I mean, a message that when the angels stood up and spoke out and they said these words, "Fear not." Boy, I can't think of much more soothing than for God to send an angel and tell you, "Fear not," because what's coming is not something that is going to put you in hell, but it's somebody that's going to save you from hell. What a soothing statement. What a peaceful statement. What a good tiding of great joy. And so it was a soothing message by the angels. Luke 1:13, the Bible said just a few pages back, the Bible said in verse 13, "But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for this prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John." And then Matthew 1:20 talks about how Jesus removes fear. The angel told Zacharias, the angel told Elizabeth, the angel told Mary, the angel told Joseph, fear not. It was a message that was soothing, a message of peace. They are things we need to fear, things like hell and the devil, and sometimes even life can become fearful. But in Christ and through Christ, you don't have to fear. Ain't you glad? Fear's been removed. Things you used to worry about, hell, sin, and the judgment of God, those things, because of this night, because of this peaceful, soothing message that came from the angels by God, that we do not have to live in fear and we don't have to die in fear. Amen. And so what a message. Not only was it a soothing message, but it was a saving message, a message of salvation. Verses 10 and 11 speak about that. Look at verse 10 again. The Bible said, "And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." So it's a soothing message, a message of peace, but it was a saving message. Unto you is born this a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Boy, I tell you, that's a wonderful message, ain't it? That's the best Christmas message anybody could ever hear. It not only fear not, but I come to seek and to save that which was lost. That's why He came. That's why He was born. He came. They came preaching this message of good tidings, good news, great joy to all people. It was universal, but it was also personal. Ain't you glad that He came to the whole world and for the whole world, but that He came for you and to you? My goodness, what a message. Listen, it'd been enough had Jesus came and sent angels and they sang and they performed that those songs in the heavens and they delivered that message that of good tidings and to the world. That's great. But do you remember the day when He came to you personally, and it wasn't angels singing in the heavens, but it was the Holy Ghost of God speaking to you directly and condemning you and convincing you and convicting you of who you was and what you was, a sinner in need of this one who came and was born of a virgin, the one by the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. And so it was a saving message. Threefold titles given to Jesus in that verse, and I've hit this, so I'm not going to linger here, but the verse said that He was Savior, meaning that He was a deliverer. It pictures Him as the sacrifice, the one who would die on the cross, the Savior of the world. Then that verse noted Him and called Him Christ, and that meaning the Anointed One, the Son of God. Pictures Him as the fulfillment of all promises and prophecies beginning in the Garden of Eden. There in Genesis 3:15, that ribbon of blood began. Then it speaks of Him as Lord. Not only Savior, Christ, but Lord. And had He been Savior, it wouldn't have been enough. Had He just been Christ, it wouldn't have been enough. But He was Savior, Christ, the Anointed, and Lord. Lord of lords and King of kings. The sovereign God. The one to be served. The one to be worshipped and adored. That's who the angels brought this message about. Note, Jesus is called Savior, not an example or a teacher, but Savior. If our greatest need had been information, God would have sent an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent an economist or a banker. If our greatest need had been pleasure, God would have sent an entertainer. If our greatest need had been military, God would have sent a soldier or a general or an admiral. But our greatest need would have been for justice, God would have sent a judge. But our greatest need was for forgiveness and redemption. Therefore, God sent a Savior and a Lord, and Christ on that day. What a message. What a man. So we see that not only was this a message of salvation and a saving message and a soothing message, fear not, but it was also a showing message. Verse 12, the Bible said in verse 12, "And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." It was a showing message. It said, you shall find. You're going to see it. It ain't just something you're going to hear about, but you're going to see something this night. Pointed the way to Jesus. God's Word points the way. Every now and then we encounter someone who needs the way pointed out to them. We need, when they do, we need, you ever had somebody ask you for directions when you needed them yourself? Yeah, that's what they call the blind leading the blind. On this night, it wasn't the blind leading the blind. God sent special messengers with a clear message, not just to speak and not just to preach and deliver this message, but to point to one and to show and portray where he would be. God put a star in the sky. God led those shepherds directly to where he was. God made sure not only would they hear it, but that he was going to show them. And ain't you glad God gave us his word that we could hear? Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But ain't you glad that day he showed you who he was? He revealed himself. Listen, we were in darkness. We were blind and could not see. But that night when you got saved, that day when I got saved, the lights flipped on. God illuminated it. God portrayed himself and revealed himself to you personally for the first time. I didn't need a northern star. I didn't need something like shiny and sparkly. No, it was brighter than that. I remember for the first time, not in Sunday school class and not getting it up here and learning it educationally and intellectually, but I remember when he turned the lights on and I saw him. I mean, I had seen him in my mind. I had seen him on paper. I had seen drawings. But I remember vividly, I mean so vividly, when the Holy Ghost of God showed me Jesus. Remember that? Oh, this night they come with a message that was a showing message. Bethlehem means the house of bread. And it was an appropriate place for the bread of life to be born. Not only a soothing message, fear not, and a saving message, a Savior, and a showing message, but then, fourthly, it was a shouting message. In verses 13 and 14, the Bible said, "And suddenly there was with an angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." The angels praised the Lord. They glorified God. They expressed their glory and grandeur of how great he was, and they didn't keep silent. They praised God, and man followed in praising God. John 14, 27 and Philippians 4, 6 speaks more about it. Listen, if the angels praised him and they shouted about him, and listen, the angels, they don't know anything about redemption. Brother Jackie, last I checked, Jesus didn't die for the angels. He died for man. He came to seek and to save that was lost. That was us. That wasn't angels. Angels will never sing a redemption song. But we that were lost, we that were in our sin, that have been saved and redeemed, we should shout while the ages roll on. And if the angels shouted, how much more should we as born-again believers, forgiven for our sin, shout and give God glory? And so That's enough to praise Him forever. And so that was the first message. Was number two, not the humble shepherds preached the message. So not only the heavenly choir, but the humble shepherds, they preached the message. Verses 15 through 20, the angels, they delivered a message of peace, but the shepherds, they delivered a message of praise. Listen, the shepherds were considered to be social outcasts. I've dealt with this, I'll fly through it, but their duties made them unclean, unfit, and they were unable to come to the temple, unable to take part in the weekly ceremonies and sacrifices. Though they provided the animals and they provided the sacrifices and raised them, they were considered to be too dirty and too low to come in and partake of. But they was able to partake this evening. They were able. God came to the outcasts. He came to those who were rejects from the world and from the religious crowd. And praise the Lord, that's who He came for. Ain't you glad? Ain't you glad that Jesus came to those that would be rejects, those that the world would look over and the world would walk around? Ain't you glad that there was a good Samaritan? Ain't you glad He came to those and would love those that were unlovable? Ain't you glad this evening that He came to somebody like you and somebody like me? In a little old place called Packlet, South Carolina. I mean, listen, most of the world's never heard of it. When they call and they you've got these phone calls drive me insane. They're either from China or India. And they say something. When I tell if they're from India, I'll say, your camel is outside. Your camel is outside. That's what I'll tell them. They don't last long on the phone when I start talking to them like that. But I'm somewhere from India or China or Africa. They'll call and they'll say, you from Pacelot or Pacolet? They don't even know how to pronounce this little old place we're from. But ain't you glad God, the God of heaven, knew exactly how to get to Packlet, to where, I mean, this little old town we live in, this little old 3,000, 4,000 member society that the world knows nothing about, but God knew where we was. We wasn't too small for Him. We, listen, rejects as many may consider us, and outcasts and hillbillies and as the world would probably look at us, God came to seek and save those just like that. And that's the message the shepherds had. So they had a message of obedience. They followed the message they received. Men need to heed the message of the heavens. Come and see. Remember John chapter 4, what that woman say? The woman at the well, she said, come and see a man that told me all the things that ever I've done. She had he came to her, and then she left out telling everybody, come and see. And if you ever hear and heed the message of Christ, you'll want to go and tell somebody, come and see this man. Come and see this man. Have you obeyed the gospel? If you have you obeyed the commission to go and tell? The simplicity of the gospel. Have you received Him as Savior? And if you have, Have you shared that simple salvation, that simple gospel with somebody else? Not only was it a message of obedience, but it was a message of opportunity. Verses 17 and 18. How was it a message of opportunity? Look at what the Bible said. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. So it was a message of opportunity. They spread the word about Jesus. What an example. If the shepherds, I mean these grueling men, these men who lived out in the fields and they didn't have a formal education, they didn't have degrees behind their name. They were just working men, but yet they heard and heeded and shared the message. If the shepherds can do that, then we can do that. They saw the opportunity and they obeyed the opportunity and they followed through with it and saw to it that everybody they saw, they was going to share that Jesus had come to the world. They were resolved in their heart to tell others about Jesus. It was a command. It was His command. Then, not only was it a message of obedience and a message of opportunity, but it was an overwhelming message. And it is. The message of Jesus coming to this world, that's an overwhelming message. Look at verse 20. The Bible said, "And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them." Boy, what an overwhelming night. I mean, you picture this. These men that had never done anything but walked around the fields on those Judean hillsides and all they'd ever done was take care of animals and from one barn to another, one field to another, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, an angel from God appears to them and speaks to them and shares with them a message. How overwhelming. And just like the angel told them, just like the message was shared with them, they followed and they obeyed and they went. And everything that the angel said they would see, they saw. When it got there, they wasn't let down, not a little bit. I'm sure when they left, they were overwhelmed at all that had transpired. I mean, that an angel appeared to them, that's overwhelming. But then that the angel wasn't some satanic angel. By the way, time out, let me say this. I don't know what wicked person, but that van sitting over there, they some wicked people in this world. I was up here picking trash up, people throwing beer cans, all kind of mess out in the churchyard, and I stopped to pick some trash up yesterday, and I noticed, I was walking up through here, and I noticed somebody had marked on the windows of the van that sits over here under this shed, and I thought, some child's going to get their tail beat. And I got over there, and you know what it was? On every window on that van, I took pictures of it. Upside down crosses and satanic stars. Somebody drew on every window of that church van over there. I'm telling you, this world needs Jesus. This world needs Jesus. Packlet needs Jesus. And my point was, and what got me even thinking about that, this wasn't some demonic angel that come to him. This was a true angel sent from God with a message, and how overwhelming it was when they got there. And sure enough, just like the message was told them, there was that babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. There was that babe in a manger. And it wasn't just any babe, but that babe was the Savior of the world that came to save sinners from... Listen, and those shepherds, how overwhelming. Do you remember the night, Brother Alex, do you remember the night when Jesus saved you? Wasn't that overwhelming? I ain't ever been overwhelmed like I was the night when Jesus found me. I mean, I was a religious person. I was a church member. But I remember being overwhelmed when He rolled my sins away. I remember how overwhelming it was to have that debt gone and to have that guilt removed. It was overwhelming. These shepherds heard the message and heeded the message, and they left overwhelmed at the power of the message of Jesus. Boy, I can identify with that. It's an overwhelming message. Amen. These men returned to their sheep. Notice that their circumstances had not changed. They were still shepherds. Still outcasts. Still in the field. And while their circumstances had not changed, their hearts had. And while their circumstances had not changed, their destiny had. Though their circumstances had not changed, though the field that they worked in had not changed, their forever had been changed. And what an overwhelming night. And what an overwhelming message that they heard. The great purpose is to change sinners into saints, and He accomplished this through the power of His grace. Remember that night He found you? Amen. What a night. Amen. Then finally, hey, we might get 3 messages preached in one night. That'd be a record. Finally, the hard-hearted innkeeper preached a message. Not only did the heavenly choir and the heavenly host have a message, and the shepherds had a message, but the hard-hearted innkeeper, he preached a message, and we don't hear much about him, but he did deliver a message. Think about it. There's no evil intent mentioned on this innkeeper. However, many people, how many people do you know would see a 9-month pregnant woman in the cold and say, "No, we too booked. We ain't got room for you. How about you just go and lay out there in the cold with the animals?" That's pretty cold-hearted. That's a message in itself, just that he would say, "There's no room for you. There's no room for you. And by the way, there's no room for that baby that's in you. There's no room for him." Reveals a hard heart in the innkeeper. It was a message of sadness. No room for Jesus. The cry of the crowd that day when Jesus was hanging on Calvary, they cried, "Crucify him. Crucify him." Remember that? Say, what do you mean? I'm saying this world, whether it was in his birth and it was that innkeeper telling the mother of Jesus, "There's no room. There's no room for you. There's no room for Jesus." And the day on God when he hung on Calvary's cross and they said, "Crucify him," they were screaming, "There's no room. There's still no room. We don't have room for him in our world." Boy, I'm telling you, that's still the message that this world's preaching today and screaming loud and clear today. There's no room. There's no room. We don't want him. We don't need him. He's taking up too much of our space. Take him out. Listen, we don't want him in our schools. We don't want y'all praying to him in our schools. And look at the shape. Look at the condition of our children. Look at the condition of our school system, because they had no room for Jesus. They had no room for the message of Christ. They had no room for a time of prayer. And look at the decline. I don't recall any school shootings back when they was prayer in school. I don't remember any of the absolute wickedness. I mean the perverted wickedness that's going on in schools back when the Ten Commandments hung there and prayer was there and preachers were invited in. Do you see the degradation and the downfall when somebody cries out, "There's no room for Jesus"? So it was a message of sadness. It was a message of sorrow. No Jesus, no hope. Without Jesus, there is no hope. Without Jesus, there is no future. Without Jesus, there's no life. Jesus is. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." It's a message not only of sorrow and sadness, but this innkeeper preached a message of separation. The innkeeper, warm and secure in his bed, while Jesus is lying out there on a dirty, filthy, cold manger. The innkeeper's rejection prevented him from knowing the joy of the shepherds. It may have also kept him from knowing eternal life. He said, "Pass along, go on down the road," while the shepherd said, "We'll follow him, we'll find him, and we'll stay out in the cold with him just to get a glimpse of him, just to see him." That innkeeper's message was, "Move along, I have no room for you." And sadly, that's the message of the world, and the message of the masses is we have no place, we have no room, we have no time for you. What a message of separation and sadness and sorrow. In conclusion, as we think about these three Christmas messages, we need to be sure that we receive the message of the angels like the shepherds did, that we too know Jesus, praise Jesus, and glorify His name. And I close by asking us all the question, what kind of message is your life preaching? What kind of message does your friends get from not just our lips, but from our life? There's a message being preached. And God help us not to have the message of the innkeeper, that we have no room for Jesus, but that we have the message of the angels and the message of the shepherds. And we glorify Him during this season, and we praise Him. Let's stand together. Father,